Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to Black Falls, Alberta, home of the 2022 AJHL Showcase. I'm Logan Gordon along with you. This is Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Very excited to be here in Black Falls for a great showcase of junior hockey talent here. It's been a great event. Continues into tomorrow. And tonight, coming up just after 7 o'clock, broadcast here on Sportsnet 960, the Black Falls Bulldogs and the White Court Wolverines. And the gentleman that will be calling that game is a familiar voice to many on the station. And very glad to welcome in Peter Labardius this afternoon. Lou, how are you today, pal?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. Very cool weekend out here in Black Falls. And we were talking a little bit earlier when we got here and what a tremendous facility they have out here in Black Falls for the newest member of the AJHL.
I'd seen lots of pictures. I've seen some games on video. So I knew it was special, and I've talked to lots of people. But, you know, as we talked about earlier today, until you kind of walk in here and go through it, and I haven't even had a chance yet to go through, like, the dressing rooms or whatever, but it is absolutely state-of-the-art. I've been a lot of buildings in my time, and I'm always fascinated because I love buildings and ballparks and sporting facilities. But the structure is beautiful. The setup is beautiful. They've thought of everything. It's a great place, I guarantee you. And I've talked to a few NHL scouts today. They love all the sight lines and some of the spots for them. There's a great score clock. It's they did it right.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, this summer I got a chance to visit Sylvan Lake's new ballpark, and they did that right, and they have definitely done this right. Unfortunately, right now we're dealing with a bit of a tough situation. A young man just left the ice from Drumheller, and we just hope he's going to be okay.
Yes, fingers crossed that situation isn't as serious as it looked, and getting the best care possible right now, as it happens sometimes in hockey. But yeah, you mentioned the scouting presence at an event like this, and that's a world that you're well ingrained in and spending time in. I was impressed. You know, I was talking to the commissioner, Ryan Bartoszek, a little bit earlier, and you know, these events are integral in his mind, in his words, about, you know, bringing everyone together in an area that made it the top place for their talent to be showcased to as many people as possible. And that's so key for the league and so key for these players.
It really is. And, you know, and there's nothing better, whether you're a college scout or an NHL scout. It's a great comparison opportunity. It's early in the year, Logan, where, you know, no matter what league the NHL scouts, it's great when you can bring an entire league together, give people a couple of different looks at the players. And, you know, it's just turned October.
Yeah.
But it's a great way to kick off the season. It's a great thing for the league. You know, I know already, and I've been here for a couple hours, the scouts are already wanting this to potentially become the regular home of this event because it's done up so right and so beautiful. So there isn't anything to complain about. It's an excellent level of hockey, and you know, we know about people like Cale Makar and others who have gone that route, and for the most part, you know, the Brooks Bandits are the reigning Centennial Cup champions and seem like they're playing for the title every year. And so, you know, it's always exciting, needless to say, going back to my roots, which didn't start in the Alberta Junior League, but I started in the Saskatchewan Junior League. That's where I cut my teeth for 4 years in Estevan. And even driving up today made me think, when was the last time I called an Alberta Junior A game of any type?
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I think, and I might have missed one somewhere because, as you know, I do a few games.
Just a couple.
Yeah, one or two.
One or two.
I think it might have been the 1988 Western Centennial Cup final between the Notre Dame Hounds, who on the Notre Dame Hounds had players by the name of Rod Brindamore.
Not bad.
The goalie was Curtis Joseph.
That's a pretty good one.
And they played the Calgary Canucks, coached by Don Phelps, who did an amazing job for all those years. The series went seven games. And even at this time, I personally have never had a better, more eventful seven-game series to call. It was, I could fill the rest of this hour with everything that happened in that series, including a mini riot in Wilcox in Game 5. They had a press conference in Calgary before Game 6, led by the head of Notre Dame. The Canucks went into the stands in Wilcox that night in Game 5. And Dwayne Norris was on that team.
Yep.
Mike Bertamini was the captain of Calgary. Corey Hirsch was on that team as a 15-year-old. And here's how the series ended, Logan. So Notre Dame was down 3-1. Came back, tied the series. Notre Dame's up 4-3 with 5 seconds left in Game 7. Calgary has an immense amount of pressure. And Jeff Batters, who was a St. Louis draft pick who played for Notre Dame, bless his soul, left us a long time, got hurt and killed in a car accident, pushed the net off its mooring with 5 seconds left in a Game 7, 4-3 game, penalty shot. Dean Larson, Curtis Joseph stopped it. Notre Dame won the series and then went to Pembroke, Ontario, and won the Centennial Cup.
That's incredible.
I'm not going to get that, I don't think, tonight.
No.
But
one or two, if we can check that off the list, maybe. Or?
Yeah, that was a pretty good
that
one.
That was, yeah. I was going to ask you, and that's the perfect way for me to sort of go into it, your excitement level for tonight to get behind the mic on an AJ game and Black Falls and White Courts and, you know, in this great facility. And I know they've been really looking forward to this Saturday night occasion, obviously having us out in the station and broadcasting it to all our listeners tonight. It's going to be a cool one tonight.
Well, as you know, I got involved last year with a streaming group called HN Live, and they do great work. And, you know, I'm not going to kid anybody. My number one love in broadcasting is doing play-by-play of live events, and, you know, I miss doing it greatly on a regular basis. So, you know, every chance I get to do an event, regardless of the sport or the situation, and this is a particularly neat one for me tonight, yeah, I'm excited. I'm not prepared enough, not to the level that I'd like to. I've had a fairly busy week. But excited working with Brian Lewis, who's been a play-by-play guy in the league for more than 10 years, Drumheller, and now the voice of the Black Falls Bulldogs in this beautiful place. And I know that we're going to have him on the air here in a few minutes and ask him for, you know, his insight into Black Falls, the organization, the building. And I think one of the neatest things I've seen in the Alberta Junior Hockey League came last week on September 24th, last Saturday, when I believe the Black Falls Bulldogs beat the Brooks Bandits 6-3. And if you remember back to last September, and the inaugural night was against Brooks for Black Falls, and I think the score was 17-1.
I think 15. I thought it was 15-0.
Okay. Well, it was.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
When you're talking touchdowns difference, it's not a strong start.
And so for this organization to end up, you know, being right around 500 by the time the season was over, they're off to a nice start. And the dominance of the Brooke Bandits, you know, they're year in and year out, you always think they might win the league.
Yep.
It's usually Brooks and Spruce Grove, more often than not, playing for this league's title. Okotoks has had some great teams, and there's been some other good teams along the way. But what an incredible victory for them early in the season.
17-0 was the final score.
I said 17-1.
Yep, and you know what? I should have remembered it because I've remembered it since then because it was the 17th of September of 2021, and I've remembered it as the 17 on the 17th of September for as long as I remember hearing about Black Falls coming into the league. So, yes, for just a year's worth of progress for Black Falls, you can see how far they've come. We'll definitely chat some more AJHL here in just a couple of moments, but I'd be remiss, Lou, if I didn't ask you a bit about...
Well, about that other team?
Yeah, about the other team on the station that frequents the airwaves. They were on there last night up the road in Edmonton. An interesting mix for Daryl Sutter's group, but the star of the game winds up being between the pipes again for the Calgary Flames, and that's been a pretty common thread this preseason when talking about Dan Vladar.
He's been fabulous.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you can say. I know it's the preseason. I use this analogy a lot, as you know as well as anyone. There's a point in the NHL, and at every level, frankly, including, you know, the Alberta Junior League, where somebody will come in from a previous level and find their way to be able to play in the league.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the next step is where you really feel like you belong, and maybe you're never going to go anywhere else. Now, it's early. I don't want to get too excited about the preseason, but just to watch Vladar, Logan, go about his business, he has been completely in control. He looks like a guy who, you know, had nice numbers, 13-6-2 last year behind Vezina candidate Jacob Markstrom. He looks different to me. He looks like a guy, as I just mentioned, that he doesn't only want to make the NHL. He wants to truly show that he belongs and is going to be somebody to reckon with. And it's been the best part, really, of the preseason for the Flames. Is, and Jason LaBarbera just raved when I had him on the coach's show yesterday about going through that experience and the maturity.
Yeah. It's hard to be a backup. It's not easy to wear that night in, night out of, you know, hey, you're going to get a start here and there, and when you're ready, especially with this head coach, we know how Daryl operates with his starter, Lou, and hey, when you're asked to, you know, you got to be at your best, and that's for a young guy coming into a new organization. I was impressed with him from last
year,
and you're right, he's only continued it into this, and you can tell he's put in that work with the coaching staff and all the other, you know, people associated around him.
There's no position outside of being a pitcher in sports that I think requires more work between your two ears than any other position. And confidence, and I use it a lot, he looks different. He looks right now like he truly believes that he belongs in the NHL and wants to make even more of a difference in year two than he did in year one. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
You know, listen, even the best guys in the league, they can have tough times.
Yep.
We saw some of that in the spring, too. So,
anybody else stand out for you in last night's performance
against
the Oilers?
The one guy that just continues to really impress me, and you want to talk about maturation, is first-round pick in 2020, and that's Connor Zeri.
Yeah.
Played on the wing last night. Logan, whether it's been Jacob Pelche, even whether it's been Adam Ruzicka, it's really hard to show your stuff and try to make a very good NHL team. But the difference that I'm seeing right now between even those three guys in particular, Connor Zeri wants the puck.
Mm-hmm.
And is making plays with the puck. And he's always from, you know, I think I watched him for the first time back in his under-18 AAA days. You know, he's always been a highly intelligent player. But he's a guy, and it just shows you, with young players, especially first-rounders, as a fan base, the fan base always seems to be in a rush to get guys in, or they're not good. Or Connor Zeri, who, as you know, had a high ankle sprain like the first game of the preseason last year,
mm-hmm.
missed a couple months, but still ended up playing 50-plus in the American League. He is a perfect example to show you what becoming a pro can do for somebody going through that. I don't think he's going to be an opening night guy, but I'll use this phrase with you because I've used it all week. With Connor Zary in the NHL and the Flames, it's not a matter of if, it's when.
Yeah, and I think the point you make is the best one there. It's a guy that didn't have a full training camp last year.
No.
This is a first-time experience for him, and to come in and have that sort of impact that he's had, it's, I've talked to a couple different people, and that's the name that keeps coming back up. And he was the name that guys like me and Pat were talking about heading into training camp, saying, I don't really know what to expect. It's hard to base it off of, what, 38 games in Stockton last year and then not having, you know, a training camp last year. You can kind of, as I'm sure you know, watching training camp year after year, you get a feel for guys and you see how they've progressed from one training camp to the next. This is a guy we weren't able to do that with, and for him to continue to do that's been even more impressive.
Yes, and even with what I saw, and whether it was there or his performance at the World Junior, which was obviously a big one for him to go through that process, I just, bigger, stronger, more mature, upgraded confidence. He's not far away.
No.
He's not far away. And if this was what I would call a regular Flames season, there would very likely be a job for him to have.
Yeah.
But that's the difference for me with this group. This is different.
Yeah.
This is about winning this and putting the best people you possibly can on the ice. So he certainly, I will be shocked if he's not here for the whole preseason.
Yeah.
He's earned
that's
it,
how good
and I think he'll play Monday, Wednesday, and who knows, maybe even Friday.
That's Peter Labardius, the color voice of the Calgary Flames here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And tonight, your play-by-play host of the Black Falls Bulldogs and the White Court Wolverines. It's coming up just after 7 o'clock. Let's chat some more AJHL around the corner. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. We're at the 2022 AJHL Showcase here in Black Falls, Alberta on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Along with you here on Sportsnet today, Sportsnet 960 The Fan at the 2022 AJHL Showcase live from Black Falls, Alberta, alongside our pal Peter Labardius. Lou, we got a special guest
we
along
do.
With us.
And I don't know why I've had this in my head, but I'm working with Brian Wilson.
Yes.
Who can. I read an article today, this morning, going through Twitter, and then another article on former NHL referee Brian Lewis. So I have had Brian Lewis on my mind. So
as we all do at times.
Yes.
Right?
Well, no, we really don't. But I could not get that out of my head. So I apologize to this fine gentleman. And Mr. Wilson, thanks for putting up with your play-by-play partner tonight. And really looking forward to working with you. Give us a sense of Black Falls, the team, and the organization, and kind of where they've come heading early into year two.
Yeah, as you mentioned, year two, so still a brand new team in this league, still, I think, trying to establish their identity a little bit. Last year, a bit of a younger group. I think they've made a lot of moves in the offseason to really start to establish, like I said, that identity, be a bigger team, a faster team, better on the back end, and a lot more solid between the pipes. So really this team has been embraced by the community, and they're doing a lot of great work outside of the rink, outside of hockey, to they have a Bulldogs Foundation, which does a lot of charity work in the Red Deer area, the Central Alberta area, and it's really been just a great process of growth for the last year and a half, and I've been really happy to be a part of that.
This facility is spectacular, with a capital S. I know that Doug Quinn, who is the owner, president, and head coach, and I've known Doug for a while, certainly really enjoyed watching his U18 teams win many games and always seem to be in the hunt to go to the national championship on a yearly basis. But he and his wife, Jody, pretty spectacular what they and this community have done. This place is absolutely state of the art.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Doug, obviously, heavy in on the hockey aspect of this, building this team this year. But a lot of credit goes to his wife, Jody, as well. One of the hardest working people in the league, maybe in hockey in general. She never stops, and just two wonderful people. And I think from the top down, they've really set the tone as far as what this organization is going to focus on. Hockey, obviously, but also the people in the community. So, you know, it's a great leadership group in this organization. And it, like I said, it trickles down, and you can see that.
So tonight, the Black Falls Bulldogs right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, just after 7, will take on the White Court Wolverines. We made mention of it right off the top. The win over Brooks. Cap that night off for me.
Yeah, you know, for those who follow Alberta Junior Hockey or hockey in general, the Brooks Bandits are, you know, the pinnacle as far as that's concerned, coming off a national junior championship, their national title, and then also, you know, their sixth league title. So anytime you can take down the champ, it's a good feeling. You know, the first game of the Bulldogs, I guess, season, their inaugural year, it didn't quite go the same way. So I know there was a bit of retribution that they wanted to dole out this year, and doubling them up 6-3 definitely felt pretty good. The boys were definitely excited for that.
What do you like about this team that you work with every day?
Well, like I said, the growth, I think, over the offseason has been tremendous. They made a lot of moves. You know, some of them you get mixed opinions on, I think, but overall they had a game plan. They stuck to it and brought in some really big pieces, especially defensively and in the goaltending situation. So overall, I think they're headed in the right direction. Outside of that, it's a really easygoing group to be a part of, whether it's the off-ice staff as well. They're great. It's a friendly organization and a flexible organization, and I think it's really given the people within it a chance to succeed, myself included, and I've really enjoyed that aspect of it.
Logan, some questions for Mr.
Course,
Wilson?
Yeah, Brian, I'm just curious how it's been joining a new organization over the last couple of years and starting from the ground up as part of what they're doing here in Black Falls.
Yeah, it's obviously a little different, you know, with an expansion team and a junior hockey team as well. We had the Rebels really close, obviously, for major junior. So I wouldn't call it competition, but it's a healthy kind of bar to set. But there's always some learning curves. I think we saw a lot of that in the first season. But towards the tail end of that last year, they really started to come together, and we're one of the best teams in the league last year. So, you know, it's been exciting. It's been different. It's nice to be at the forefront and be able to help establish some of that culture
100%.
Moving forward. And like I said, everyone who's been involved since the start has done that, and it's been really, really cool to do.
That's great. And I'm curious, too, what a weekend like this has been like for you and for the organization from your perspective, because, you know, you talk about the excitement level here. I've seen jerseys from every single team, I think, here. The excitement level around this facility and around the team, right? It's cool to have such a premier event at, you know, Black Falls, right? And then people are raving about it.
Yeah, you know, over the years, I've been a bit of a showcase nerd. I don't know what the word is, but I like
aficionado.
Yeah,
maybe.
There's a good one. Yeah.
I like that way better.
Yeah,
aficionado. You know, I used to drive to the BCHL showcase. Then I would drive, you know, say from Chilliwack, BC, all the way to Warman, Saskatchewan for the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League showcase, and then to this one. So getting to see how different leagues are doing their showcases was a big learning experience for me, and then to bring it into this one this year. It's I mean, being in the host team, there's a lot more on the plate, I think, the staff than I think we even realized heading in. I haven't slept a whole lot.
I knew that was coming.
It's across the board there, but we have a really hardworking staff, and it's not just myself. Everyone's been going full board, but I think, like you said, bringing in the community, bringing in the league, bringing in you guys as well in Sportsnet, that's fantastic. And it's just a celebration of hockey, of grassroots hockey, and again, the community and the impact that it's making. And I think we're seeing that just with the energy and the excitement, and it feels pretty good.
And I guess just my last one for you is just excitement for the game tonight. You're going to be on Sportsnet with, you know, Peter Labardius, who's raved about you all day and has been really excited for this opportunity.
Couldn't get his name right the first time I talked about him, but
outside of that, you were real excited to have this opportunity, and you are. So I guess I would just ask from the other side of it, you know, it's a weird spot, probably ceding a bit to somebody else in the job that you're used to doing, but a chance for you guys to do it together tonight is probably a pretty cool one.
Yeah, absolutely, and with yourself as well, Logo. I listen to you guys all the time, so as far as being able to sit here and do this with you, it's an honor and a dream come true in all regards. So as far as stepping back and letting the master go to work, I'm just gonna sit and
what a master, what a start.
He's a little sheepish for calling me Mr. Lewis, but
and should be.
I think we'll work from that, Peter.
I think I'm good, my friend.
Gentlemen, get out of here, enjoy warm-ups. Brian, it's great to meet you, can't wait to see you up there. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks.
Really do appreciate it, and all the warm welcome that you guys have given us here in Black Falls. Lou, we'll chat with you in just a little bit, sir.
I got to go learn some hockey players.
Take care, guys. We'll talk to you in just a little bit. Peter Labardius and Brian Wilson, not Brian Lewis, along with us here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You'll hear them coming up in just about 15 to 20 minutes time as we get set for our premier game here at the 2022 AJHL Showcase. The Black Falls Bulldogs and the White Court Wolverines coming up here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Logan Gordon. This is Sportsnet Today. Here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We talked about it a little bit earlier today, but the Calgary Stampeders in action, taking on the Toronto Argonauts this afternoon from McMahon Stadium, and at halftime, looking good for the Calgary defense and the Calgary offense. No scoring through 15 minutes of play here so far, but two touchdowns in the second quarter. Jake Mayer finding Reggie Bagleton for a short touchdown pass, and then the man who's becoming an expert at the short yardage situations, Tommy Stevens punches in another touchdown for the Stampeders. This one, a short yardage one to give the Stampeders a 14-2 lead. Some stats at halftime in this one. Jake Mayer, 8 of 12. That's good for his 66.7 completion percentage. I mentioned the one touchdown to Reggie Bagleton, also an interception in this one. His counterpart, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, having more difficulties with the Stampeders defense. He is 7 of 16. That's just a 43.8% completion rate, 85 yards through the air. So McLeod Bethel-Thompson struggling a bit in that category. He also has thrown an interception in this game. The Stampeders coming down with one. Jameer Thurman, the middle linebacker for your Calgary Stampeders. Cameron Judge, back in. I was thinking of Aaron Judge with all the home run talk lately. Cameron Judge, no relation to Aaron, I think of. Back in the lineup, serving his one-game suspension for that incident with the BC Lions a couple of weeks ago. He's making an impact immediately back at that Sam linebacker spot. He's got four tackles to lead all players in this game. And to me, the biggest story coming out of this one so far, not only the superior defense for the Calgary Stampeders, but the man rushing the ball for them, a huge part of this for the Calgary Stampeders. Kadeem Carey, 9 carries for 52 yards. That's a 5.8 per yards average for him. Kadeem Carey leading the CFL in rushing, and for my money, the best back in the CFL right now. It's an interesting conversation to have when the likes of William Stanbeck in Montreal are healthy and ready to go, but as of right now, I'm sorry, you can't find, for my money, a better running back than Kadeem Carey. And what he's done for the Calgary Stampeders continues to pace the league in rushing, and will be a big part of this for the Calgary Stampeders heading into the second half if they want to continue to grind out this lead. 14-2, the lead for the Calgary Stampeders at halftime against the Toronto Argonauts. So we'll keep an eye on that one throughout the afternoon. We are reminding people that we're here at the 2022 AJHL Showcase in Black Falls, Alberta. Great event going on here at Black Falls. Lou was just talking about it, but it is really a first-class facility here in Black Falls. Their second year in the league, they've got a brand-new facility here, and it is a perfect showcase for AJHL hockey. Really excited that Lou is going to get on the call with Brian a little bit later on tonight. This is the showcase that runs from September 29th on Thursday, and it ends tomorrow with four more games. All 16 of the Alberta Junior Hockey League teams are here for 16 games over the 4 days. I've been up to where the scouts are watching from. There is a lot of them. There's almost two full sections of scouts here from all over North America, the NHL, NCAA, U Sports. The perfect opportunity for scouting services to come and take a look at all the talent that the AJHL has to offer. And this is really the perfect facility for it. It's been the perfect event for it so far, and we're looking forward to capping it off later tonight with the matchup between the Bulldogs and the Wolverines here on Sportsnet 960. If you're in the Black Falls area, we've got the games still to come tonight, but we also have a full slate of games tomorrow as well. They kick things off just after 11 a.m. when Canmore takes on Lloydminster. And it's more than just hockey. There's family-friendly events. They had karate showcases out here earlier. They've had food trucks, vendors, everything. If you're going to go back and listen to anything today, our chats with Lou or with the commissioner of the AJHL, Ryan Bartoszek, he was talking about, you know, the community impact and how they want their franchises here in the Alberta Junior Hockey League to not just be a hockey franchise, but to be really a community franchise. They want to ingrain themselves in the community around them. Brian Wilson mentioning that, hey, we have a Bulldogs Foundation here in Black Falls that they are promoting and doing things in the community with. The players spend a ton of time in all of their individual communities finding the best, you know, areas where they can help out and assist in different areas. And it's so good to see they're raising not just great hockey players throughout these things, but they're also raising great human beings, and that's incredibly important to the AJHL. It's what makes it so successful. So if you are happening to be in the Black Falls area tonight and you want to catch the game, come on down to the Eagle Builders Center here in Black Falls, Alberta. Or if you're looking for something to do tomorrow on a Sunday, you can do so as well. Four more games to end off what's been a very, very successful 2022 AJHL showcase here in Black Falls, Alberta. I'm Logan Gordon. This is Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Keep an eye on the Calgary Stampeders and the Toronto Argonauts as the second half gets underway here from McMahon Stadium, but also taking a look at the NFL schedule tomorrow, back up after the disappointing, I guess, circumstances that took over Thursday Night Football. That was a big win for the Bengals. But obviously everyone was talking about Tua Tagovailoa and the concussion protocol that the league has. That's, of course, going to be put to the side tomorrow with a full slate of Sunday games across the NFL, and it gets going early. If you're an early riser on a Sunday and want to catch some football, 7:30 a.m. Calgary time tomorrow, the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. The London games continuing for the NFL this season. Of course, like everything, just rinse and repeat that, yes, everything got postponed due to COVID. Obviously not traveling overseas during COVID. So now they're back in London, and we'll kick things off with the Vikings and the Saints. The Vikings 2-1, the Saints 1-2. A couple of other interesting games to watch on the slate tomorrow. How about this one? From M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, the Ravens and the Bills at 2-1. Both teams looking to go to 3-1. This is an 11 a.m. kickoff in Calgary. Two potential MVP candidates at quarterback and two teams that have, you know, probably aspirations of a Super Bowl or at least making some noise when it comes to the AFC conference when the season's done. Lamar Jackson looks like he's been worth every penny this year. You go back to the situation he had with the Baltimore Ravens and contract negotiations that stalled. Doesn't look great if you're a Ravens fan right now, because now it looks like you might have to pony up even more if Lamar Jackson goes off and has another season like he did when he won the MVP not that long ago. He's looking like that guy again, the guy that takes advantage of things over the middle with Mark Andrews and then uses his legs to his advantage. He's just simply too difficult to track down for some NFL defenders, and he knows it. He uses his space and his surroundings around him, his awareness of those surroundings to take advantage. And so far, it's making the Ravens look a little bit foolish in my mind for not getting something done with him. On the other side, of course, Josh Allen and the Bills, they're looking to come back with another win this week. They're going to be Super Bowl favorites out of the AFC for pretty much the entire season. That's an interesting one to watch. You got the Giants and the Bears. Jaguars, Eagles. How about this one from Philly? The Eagles now the only undefeated team remaining in the NFL after that Dolphins loss on Thursday. Eagles can go to 4-0. And speaking of MVP candidates, Jalen Hurts doing his best to get on that radar with a hot start with the Philadelphia Eagles. They might not have a set running back one in Philly, but it doesn't really matter when your quarterback can do what Jalen Hurts does. We've seen A.J. Brown go off this year. Last week it was Devonta Smith for the Eagles. They've got a huge huge chance to go to 4-0 and make some noise in that NFC. The Jaguars, though, won't be an easy out. They showed out well against the Chargers last week in SoFi Stadium. Walked in there and walked all over the Chargers, and they're clearly a much more well-put-together group than they were under Urban Meyer. Trevor Lawrence starting to flash some of that potential that made him the first overall pick a couple of years ago. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are hosting the New England Patriots, who are without Mac Jones this week. That's a tough one for them. Packers 2-1, Patriots 1-2. Broncos Raiders is going from Allegiant Stadium just after 2:25. Broncos, despite all of the conversation around Nathaniel Hackett, has been pretty negative. The Broncos somehow find themselves 2-1 on the season and a chance to move to 3-1 and put a division rival in a hole that they might not be able to dig themselves out of if the Raiders fall to 0-4. That's a 2:25 kickoff tomorrow from Las Vegas. That's a huge game for the Raiders. They cannot go down. It already feels like 0-3 might be too big of a hole for them to climb out of. Imagine if they fall to 0-4. What happens with Josh McDaniel's group there, who have high expectations? Davante Adams, Derek Carr and company were supposed to be this new brand of offense for the Las Vegas Raiders, but so far it hasn't come to light, and a chance to potentially fall to 0-4 would not be the kind of start that they envisioned to this season. It's a competitive division as it is. Go down 0-4, and you're not going to find yourself in a very good spot. The Sunday nighter, potentially, fingers crossed, who knows, could be a great one. I always hesitate to say that because we always seem to get disappointed with what happens during these primetime games. But Sunday night, tomorrow, 6:20 kickoff from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, both at 2-1, although the Bucs would like to have had a better showing in their first 3 weeks. Tom Brady not happy with how his offense has performed, but can you blame him? They've gone through massive injuries at the wide receiver position. Julio Jones and Chris Godwin are questionable for tomorrow. Either one of them back in the Tampa Bay lineup would be huge. They've had to pull Cole Beasley pretty much off of the street and into their lineup. That's how thin they've been at wide receiver. You talked about those names heading into the season. Russell Gage, Godwin, Julio Jones, Mike Evans. Mike Evans was suspended for that game last week after the incident with the New Orleans Saints. He can't go doing that. They were down to like their fourth and fifth string receivers. Even as great as Tom Brady is, he's going to have trouble keeping up with NFL offenses if those are the top guys that he has to throw with. It could be a huge, huge advantage for them tomorrow, not only getting Evans back, but if they can pair him with one of Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, or potentially both. On the other side, the Chiefs still looking to really put things together this season. It's been a good start for Patrick Mahomes, but we're trying to figure out what exactly this new-look offense looks like for them, minus Tyreek Hill. We haven't really had anyone step out into the spotlight for Kansas City. Juju Smith-Schuster, the former Steeler, is there, of course. Sky Moore was a high draft pick of theirs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a first-rounder from a couple of years ago for the Chiefs, but no one's really starred in this offense outside of Travis Kelce, who stars in the offense every single year as the main target for Patrick Mahomes. We'll see if somebody else can do that against a tough Bucs defense. We know that they shut him down a couple of years ago, and they'll be looking to do the same on Sunday night. Your Monday nighter tonight from Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, it is the Rams and the 49ers. Game two for Jimmy Garoppolo, back in the saddle for the 49ers after that injury to Trey Lance. Can he pick up where he left off last season and try to bring the 49ers back into a playoff contention? They thought they had handed the reins over to Trey Lance. They thought he was set to be the guy. He takes a season-ending ankle injury. That's a hard blow for him. Now they have to go back to the guy that they didn't want around the team for most of the offseason and really only brought him back because he didn't like what the options were out there when it came to trading him. That's unfortunate. We'll see what exactly Jimmy G has in store against a tough Rams offense. Again, another team that's 2-1, but probably not in love with the start they've had. Sean McVay's group looking for more consistency on both sides of the ball. You've got Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald on defense. Can they match up with Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, etc. when it comes to things on Monday night. Looking forward to a great slate of NFL games tomorrow. That's going to do it for us here on Sportsnet today from Black Falls. But don't worry, our coverage continues around the corner. We'll take a break and come back on the other side with Puck Drop from the Eagle Builders Center in Black Falls, Alberta. The AJHL Showcase, your showcase game tonight. The Black Falls Bulldogs and the White Court Wolverines. Peter Labardius and Brian Wilson have the call next. This has been Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.